Hey, you're back with the River Avenue Blues podcast. My name is Jay Gordon, and once again, I am joined by Dominic Lanza. How you doing?
I'm well, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good. It was a really kind of pretty day today here in New York. It's Thursday. It's not incredibly too cold where I am, but it could be warmer. And speaking of warm, we saw some pretty hot bats as the Yankees played against the Pirates today. And what would you say, that was the A1 lineup?
Yeah, this was, I guess it was maybe the A2 lineup, because Tyler Wade started at second base instead of Neil Walker. But yeah, I mean, they rolled out, I know this isn't super compelling radio, but their starting lineup was Gardner, Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, Didi, Hicks, Bird, Drury, and Wade. And I suspect that that's pretty darn close to what we're going to see in the regular season, except Walker's probably or almost certainly starting over Wade. And I think maybe he'd hit a bit higher in the lineup, but with his on-base skills and switch hitting, maybe you bat him ninth as a second leadoff hitter.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool to see the power show that some of those guys showed off today with Gary Sanchez and Tyler Austin, and of course the big double by Judge and Sanchez. So it's been nice to see these guys that you expected to hit really start kind of putting on little pop shows, if you will, during these games.
Yeah, definitely. And everybody's hitting to some extent, which is nice. I mean, it's only spring training, and you know, if you really want to look down on people, Greg Bird still doesn't quite look to be 100%, but you know, everybody else is doing the little things, and it's good to see with the regular season starting in, you know, a bit under 2 weeks now. Or actually 2 weeks to the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
So we also saw Dellin, you know, once again having some issues. Three strikeouts, but, you know, two more earned runs, no walks, but, you really want to see him stop making so much, you know, I know this is spring training and they're working on things, but you don't want to see so much, contact. At least that's the way it looks to me.
Yeah. I mean, it almost seems to me from what I've seen that he's aiming the pitches. Like, he's so scared to walk people because of how everything went down last year when he completely lost track of the strike zone, that he's just hitting too much of the plate and people are squaring him up really easily, which is something that shouldn't happen with a guy who has stuff like Dellin Betances does.
Yeah. Sean Rodriguez stole a base off of him, which, I mean, you know, he's not the most incredibly fast guy, but you know, that's the thing that Betances does is if you get a guy on, he's going to probably steal on him. And it's one of those things that Betances has talked about in interviews recently, that he just needs to, quote unquote, you know, work better on his move and keep looking and get mentally straight on watching the pitcher. Watching the batter and paying attention to the runner. It's going to be interesting to see what batters do with him over the year and how Gary kind of handles it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Sanchez, for his credit, is doing a better job on the whole this spring getting pitches in the dirt. Of course, he allowed a pass ball today, but he looks more nimble behind the plate to me. And
yeah, he got
I know it. Yeah, he definitely lost a little weight or toned up, whatever he did. So I'm really hopeful that that's going to be behind him, the pass ball issue. And I still have a bad taste in my mouth from Girardi kind of throwing him under the bus last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't really happy with that myself. So speaking of under the bus throwing, good old Rob Manfred, who's been probably one of the least likable people lately, at least in my view, basically put out something. Long story short, Aaron Judge told Manny Machado he'd look good in pinstripes, and the league didn't like it, and the league went to the Yankees and said, your player can't do that, and in turn, they were told to warn the player. Sounds pretty freaking silly to me.
Yeah, I mean, baseball has this weird problem where it doesn't seem to want to be. I don't want to say fun, because I think they're finally coming around with, you know, allowing the stuff with the GIFs and Cut Four on Twitter and their podcasts and everything.
Sure.
But it seems like they don't want personalities within the game sometime. And I get it. This is, I guess, kind of sort of tampering, and we've seen the NBA takes that seriously. But, you know, to have two young stars on the field or in the clubhouse bantering with each other and getting along, that's good for baseball. You want to see stars talking to each other, and I guess maybe talking trash would be a little more compelling, but I don't know. I just don't see anything wrong with it.
I didn't really either. I think it was a non-issue, and to be honest with you, people made a big deal of it because the league made a big deal of it. I mean, Judge is now the face of kind of baseball in a way. I would say that he's really become it. And in turn, the scrutiny grows, and so you just have to deal with that as a fan base. You're going to hear a bunch of nonsense that comes from the newspapers and wherever else people generate media, of course. But we'll cover it either way because that's what we do.
I'm just waiting for him to be called a prima donna because of this and the whole story about him not participating in the Home Run Derby anymore. It's just a matter of time before people start saying he thinks he's bigger than the game or something like that. It's coming. It's coming soon.
A natural repetitive motion in such a short time span simply does not make sense for a guy who just had shoulder surgery. So I'm going to take Aaron Judge's side on here and say that maybe it's probably a good idea that he doesn't do that and that he keeps his best cuts for the Yankees.
Yeah, it was really cool to see him dominate last year, but I don't need to see that again. It was fun once. I don't want to see Stanton or Sanchez there either, really.
No, I want to just move on. I think that they did what they had to do last year, and it's time for another story. So, kind of continuing with what's going around, the minor leagues, which has absolutely no impact on what the Major League Union is able to do, had a new set of rules that were just announced that was supposed to change pace of play. Some of them are like the 15-second pitch clock with empty bases and 20-second with men on base. Mound visits, 6. In double A, it's 8 a game. And in single A, it's 10 per game. In extra innings, now this is the crazy one. Hold on to your friggin' head, all right? In extra innings, every half inning will begin with a runner on second base. If that runner scores, it is charged to the pitcher as an unearned run.
Is it too much of a stretch to say that this is like the worst sports idea in modern times?
It's, you know, if I could compare it to anything, it's like when Twitter changed likes to hearts. It's just like, what are you doing? It's made no real. You've done nothing to make the game better with this. All you did was kind of make a change, and it's really silly with some of these saving time issues, I believe. But to put a guy over on second base to start an inning to me just sounds really goofy. I know that they want to be able to get to the ending of games quicker and to wrap them up in the minor leagues. But, I mean, I just would feel really gypped if that's how games started in the major leagues.
It's something that doesn't even really make sense when you really boil it down to the core idea behind these changes they're making, because they keep talking about pace of play. They're not length of game. The pace at which the game is, that's why they want to limit the mound visits and everything, because that grinds the game to the halt. Nobody's complaining about games going to extra innings and having more sudden death / free baseball, and people love extra innings. That was some of the best part of the postseason and everything. And
I agree.
It's just, it makes no sense. And it's kind of funny that even despite that, and I hate it. Like, I can't make it any more clear how much I hate it. And if I keep talking about it, I'm just going to rant and this will be a 4-hour podcast. But I really don't like the whole thing with the pitch clock either, because there are a bunch of studies about how the pitch clock puts pitchers at risk for injuries. Have you read these, or have they been talked about enough?
I'm not aware of it, no.
Yeah, in AAA, they put a 20-second pitch clock into some leagues, not all of them. And this was in... Yeah, so in 2015 and 2016, it was in the Florida State League only, so that's high A. The pitchers hitting the disabled list went up by almost 40%. In the leagues that did not have a pitch clock, it stayed the same. And they did that. They did it in back-to-back years, 2015 and 2016. In both years, it was about 40% above every other league. And maybe you could say it's something in the Florida air or something, but pitchers having to rush from pitch to pitch, not being able to set up, have that little downtime for muscles to reset. And to
rushing mechanics. Yeah, rushing mechanics and not doing them the way that they've been trained all those years. You could be right. It very well could be some sort of real modification to the way a pitcher expects to deliver the ball, and in turn could end up adding additional stress on places that aren't supposed to have such stress. So then
what ends up happening? More pitchers get hurt. You have worse pitchers pitching. And then you have games lasting longer because worse pitchers can't get good hitters out.
Yeah. So let's kind of take a look around what the Yankees have been up to just in the last few days. They let Adam Lind go. You can't really look at that as much more than just they made a move with Neil Walker, which you mentioned earlier, and it's just a roster crunch.
Yeah, I mean, Lind didn't really have a place on the team anymore. He was insurance at first base for Greg Bird, and they got Neil Walker, who is more versatile than Adam Lind and can play the same position, and that was kind of that.
It's really incredible when you think about Lind. He didn't have a terrible year last year, and he's really having a hard time finding a job. But we'll see where he catches on. Of course, Yankees' top prospect in Gleyber Torres, he got sent down to AAA and reassigned to minor league camp. And, you know, we talked about this, Joe and I, last week, but it was obvious that Gleyber was trying and he was rushing on a lot of his plays. He didn't really hit well, and I think he'd reached a point where, you know, they said it's not really that time, and they made the move on Walker, and that kind of sealed the fate.
Yeah, and it's understandable. I mean, even if I actually had this minor concern that Torres would come out and set the world on fire, and they'd either rush him or they'd send him down, and there'd be this weird backlash. But we keep forgetting that he's only played 50 games or 55 games above A ball, and he missed half the season with an injury. It wasn't a major injury for a hitter. You know, Tommy John surgery is not as big a deal for a hitter, but it's not a nothing surgery. And he's young and inexperienced. And why not let him rake his way up, regain his confidence, and get healthy and get his timing in games that don't matter?
Yeah, I mean, AAA is going to be loaded with people that's going to help him both as a professional, because there'll be some veterans down there, and then there'll be other young guys who are basically going to be in competition to be the next one up. And, you know, you keep hearing that Domingo Herman is one of those guys that, you know, when the call really comes, because if you look, Chance Adams, he kind of blew his chance again. Not to pun about it, but he really did. He had a bad spring training already. Already got sent down to the minors camp. I mean, he wasn't going to make this club, but he looked pretty bad. Then you've got Adam Warren, who I think I underestimated. He's having a decent spring training. He'll be in the back end of that bullpen, so there was no space really for Adams. So it made sense to send him down. But I really do believe that if you look at the pecking order and what came out of the spring so far, Herman seems to really be showing people some big things.
Yeah, I'm really interested in him because he's one of those big stuff guys that kind of has shaky control. I mean, we saw that when he was up with the Yankees last year, because he had, I'm looking at it now, and he pitched 14 and a third innings for the Yankees which was obviously spaced out all over the place. But in those 14 innings, he had 9 walks and 18 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So he was basically a, you know, 3 true outcomes pitcher. But that's the type of guy you put in the bullpen, because he's already 25. He's not young for a prospect anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of hope for the best. And of the guys in AAA who I think could be that up and down guy, maybe make a spot start, maybe be the mop-up guy who pitches 3 or 4 innings out of the bullpen, I think Herman might be my favorite of them right now.
He's got big stuff, and that's the thing that you really look at that the Yankees have keep bringing out of that that system, is just really, really big arms that throw hard. It's pretty cool, because you remember the kind of mid-2000 Yankees. The only thing that was ever coming out of the minor leagues were guys that were throwing 91 to 92. And then once, you know, you get Jabba Chamberlain coming out there, tossing, you know, 90s to 100s, you started seeing kind of lights in their eyes around guys who had velocity. Because you started really seeing a trend with that team picking bigger and bigger arms that were harder throwers.
Yeah, that's definitely the trend. I think the idea with them, and this is something that Larry Rothschild did in Chicago too, was you get these guys who can throw hard and you teach them how to locate, because it's harder. Well, I guess maybe that's not as true as it is anymore with how much harder pitchers are throwing than they ever did before, but it seems like it might be easier to teach that little bit of command that you need than it is to teach, you know, how to throw 100 miles an hour, or how to get that little bit of extra break on the slider. And it's worked well for them. I mean, look at the stable of relievers they have with guys like Chad Green and maybe Herman now, and Sessa, who's looked better as a reliever. That's working for them, and I'm excited to see them keep doing it, because stuff works.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Mike, in many occasions, says, you know, you get Rothschild, strikeouts go up. That's what he does. And, you know, it's true, because you've watched that the Yankees keep producing big strikeout guys year after year, and keep having their starters kind of focus on the short counts, get guys out, you know, minimize and attack, get those strikes. And it's been nice to see. I don't know if this is going to be that same team of a high strikeout, but I can't imagine it won't be, because of the people that are at the back end of that bullpen and some of the arms in the rotation, for that matter.
Yeah, and Gray's strikeouts went up last year. Tanaka's always had nice strikeout rates. Montgomery struck out more people than we expect. I think they all have strikeout stuff. And, you know, obviously Severino is a monster, but yeah, they were third in baseball in strikeout rate last year, so. And they're bringing back much of the same, except, you know, Gray they'll have for the whole season, and, you know, maybe Chapman will stay healthy and Betances will remember how to pitch him.
Mm-hmm.
I see no reason why they'd strike out less.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to keep this a little short this week. We don't have any questions, unfortunately. Next week, we're looking forward to having some more people on. I think we might be able to get Ben. We think we might be able to get Mike. We'll see. But we'll continue through the rest of spring training, and you'll get a lot more interesting things. Dominic, is there anything you got coming out that you're writing or you want to kind of preview?
I mean, the next few things I'm doing is I'm still working on the season preview pieces. I'm writing about Aroldis Chapman. I'm writing about the guys on the 40-man roster who might help out this year, the position players. So, you know, your Billy McKinney's and Tyler Austin's and guys like that. And I'm also going to be doing our preview on the rest of the teams in the AL East, which I'm really interested in, because I really haven't dug into the other teams all that much yet. And I kind of have no idea what's happening with the teams that aren't the Red Sox. So
yeah,
there's interested to see that.
There's a lot of really bad baseball coming from some of those teams, it seems like, based on just some of the lineups that they're looking to put together from guys like, on the Rays. It's just not looking like they're going to have the strongest team. It's not looking like they're going to put out a fifth starter. There's a lot of weird things that they're looking to do over in Tampa Bay that I'm not really certain about.
Yeah, they traded away half of their good players, and the other half got Tommy John surgery, so...
Yeah, and they've got Nate Eovaldi back in, throwing pretty hard in their rotation, matter of fact. It was actually kind of nice to see. I don't wish the guy any ill will, even though he's on that team. He got a bum break at the end.
Yeah, he did. He's doing pretty... He looks good in spring training, and he's never really been a bad pitcher, aside from the stretch into him, his elbow giving out with the Yankees. But
yeah.
I'm interested to see what he'd do. I mean, I hope he doesn't do it against the Yankees, but it'd be nice to see him bounce back. He's still surprisingly young. He's only 27.
Yeah, second Tommy John surgery. I think they said his first one was like when he was 16 or 17. He was really young. You know, they like to call them corrections, but they probably put in another ligament. I think he messed up the flexor mass also. And you listen to the arm by Passan, correct? Or you read Jeff Passan's The Arm, correct?
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the book and you just hear about Todd Coffey and that spaghetti that became his flexor mass, that's kind of crazy. So to imagine that he went through it twice, and now Eovaldi had that twice. It sounds like it's a rough recovery, and it's kind of crazy to see Eovaldi out there throwing upper 90s again.
Yeah, you know, this actually might be a good time just to recommend The Arm to anybody who hasn't read it and is interested in all the Tommy John surgeries and the injury risks of pitchers on pitch clocks that I mentioned earlier. The Arm is just a really fantastic book about all of that.
Absolutely, I agree very much. So anyway, that's it for this week on River Ave Blues Podcast. My name is Jay. You can find me on Twitter at JDestro. Don't forget to check out the River Ave Blues Twitter, and you can follow us on Facebook, of course. And Dom, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at Dominic Lanza, DominicLanza.
Very cool. Well, everybody, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Have a good one.